So the Academy Awards obviously are on Sunday, and there's going to be, and I'm sure there will be some memorable speeches, considering, you know, what's happening in Hollywood and what's happened over the course of the last year and how it's going to be, you know, politically charged. And I'm sure that there's going to be some memorable stuff that happens. And again, it's live TV and anything can happen. And we have some interesting stuff that has happened on live TV. That's one of the great things about watching the Academy Awards is that you seriously, anything can happen. And as we saw last year, one of the biggest blunders in the history of the Academy Awards when the wrong Best Picture title was announced. And it became one of the weirder incidents, and we've got some audio on that, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But we're talking about some of the biggest acceptance speech blunders and errors in Academy Awards history, and we have this list here of them, and we're going to play a bunch of it, too. And it's from theringer.com, is this website. So we would love to hear from you on this, 312-981-7200. So I'm looking forward to the Oscars this year. I think it's going to be... It's gonna be a fun show. I think Jimmy Kimmel's great. I happen to be a really, really big fan of Jimmy Kimmel, and I think he's gonna do a great job. I think he did a great job last year, and I think he'll do a good job this year. The acting categories are all pretty much set, I think. I don't think there are going to be any big surprises, and if there are, I mean, I think that if any of the four winners in the Oscar in the acting categories isn't what people have predicted or what seems to be the way it's going to go, that'll be a genuinely huge surprise and an upset if that happens. So, all right, let's get to some of these things. Back in 2000, the 2013 Academy Awards honoring the films of 2012. You're going to love this one, Esmeralda, because it involves Ben Affleck.
Oh, boy.
And the award was for Best Picture. Argo won Best Picture. And he was one of the producers of Argo, and so he gave the acceptance speech. And here's what went wrong. Ben Affleck, who had a very good Oscars in 2013, Argo, a movie he produced, starred in, and directed, won Best Picture. But Ben Affleck also had a very not good Oscars in 2013. Do you remember what happened, Esmeralda, during his speech?
I don't.
Well, here's the explanation, and then we'll actually hear a portion of the speech, okay? Because during his speech, instead of thanking his wife, Jennifer Garner, in an endearing manner, he chose to tell the millions of people watching at home that marriage just kind of sucks, and it's a lot of work. You still don't remember that, Esmeralda?
No.
So can we hear the audio on that, Dan? This is the this is Ben Affleck, and I'll explain a little bit more. Here we go.
I'm going to forget. I thank everyone in the movie, on the movie, worked on the movie, did anything with this movie, gets thanked. I want to thank Canada. I want to thank our friends in Iran, living in a terrible circumstances right now. I want to thank my wife, who I don't normally associate with Iran. But I want to thank you for working on our marriage for 10 Christmases. It's good. It is work, but it's the best kind of work. And there's no one I'd rather work with. So.
Okay. So he used... That's a little strange, don't you think, Esmeralda?
The work part?
Yeah, it's like, it's work. And they keep cutting back to Jennifer Garner, who clearly was not happy.
Right. But, I mean, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been there twice, Esmeralda.
I mean, yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but it's. I don't know if that's the forum in which to say that... that they're working hard on their marriage. Just say, oh, thanks for being there and helping on the movie. Yes, that is the man using the word work four times in two sentences, apparently meant to be about the joys of romantic union, and it didn't age well. So that's the first one. And that's the first one. And I remember he caught a lot of flack for it. And then they you know, if I remember correctly, he was on with Kimmel, like the next night or the night after or something like that, a couple of nights later. And he issued like an apology to Jennifer Garner and said, I'm sorry, I was nervous, you know, because and this is true, because when you get up there, if you win and you get up there, they're immediately telling you to wrap it up. You got a clock ticking in front of you, you know, and so if you've got something prepared, you know, you might have to do it as quickly as possible. If not, you're going to be flustered when you get up there. But yeah, it didn't make a very good impression on a lot of people weren't happy with Affleck saying the word work 15 times about his marriage. All right. Now here's one, that is pretty crazy. You know, Melissa Leo, right? Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great actress. Phenomenal actress. And this was the year 2011, celebrating the movies of 2010. She won Best Supporting Actress for The Fighter. And here's what went wrong. It happens sometimes. You really get excited over something and inadvertently blurt out a curse word. It's an honest mistake in certain moments and can be rather endearing. What isn't endearing is throwing out the F word in such a way that everyone knows you were planning on saying it the whole time, as Melissa Leo did in 2011. She apologized and played it off as a mistake after the ceremony, but we don't know. She really wound up for that. So let's see. Let's see. Here we go. Let's hear this audio.
Okay. Yeah, I am kind of speechless. Golly sakes, there's people up there too. Kate 2 years ago, it looked so easy. Oops.
I don't know. Did that seem premeditated to you?
Yes and no, but I'm still like, that's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
You just won an Oscar, swear all you want.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree, Esmeralda. And one of the things that I don't like about these award shows is how they rush people through, you know? Cut out a lot of the extraneous crap, like, you know, maybe don't do an opening musical number so you can let people get up there and talk. It's like a once in a lifetime thing for a lot of people. You know, this is something they've strived for and worked for essentially their whole life. And it's this great big moment where millions and millions and millions of people are watching. Let them talk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, just let them. But that's why that speech that Mickey Rourke did at the Independent Spirit Awards is so great, because it's like 6.5 minutes long. He's dropping F-bombs all over the place, and it was hilarious. It was that's what you want to see on live TV. Now, that year, by the way, we're going to be talking about best and worst hosts for the Academy Awards. That was the year, if you remember, Esmeralda, that was co-hosted by Anne Hathaway and James Franco. Widely considered to be one of the worst hosting jobs ever. Like, Anne Hathaway was trying way too hard, and James Franco didn't care and was high. That's basically what it seemed like when you watched it. But here's some of the other weird stuff that happened in addition to Melissa Leo's F-bomb. It was hosted by James Franco and Anne Hathaway. The legendary Hollywood vet Kirk Douglas presented the award, and he came on stage. He asked Hathaway, where were you when I was making pictures? In case you ever wondered what it sounded like for a 94-year-old man to hit on a 28-year-old woman at a public event. That was then. Kirk Douglas trolled the nominees by taking his sweet time reading the winner, which everyone laughed at except Helena Bonham Carter, who was having none of it. Finally, Melissa Leo came up, decided to say the F word, and she stole Kirk Douglas's cane while leaving the stage. So that all happened. in the 2011 ceremony, which is a very memorable one, but not for great things. And the Melissa Leo thing didn't. I mean, that didn't. I laughed at it. I remember watching it and laughing at it. It was one of the few moments that was funny on that broadcast. Man, they were bad. James Franco and Anne Hathaway. The idea. What was the idea, Dan? To what? To appeal to a younger audience,
yeah,
to get it hipper.
I mean, that was the reasoning that I remember. The 25 to 34 year old and 25 to 54 year old numbers for the year before were just dismal.
Yeah,
and so it was just like, all right, well, we can do this. And, you know, at that time, you know, Anne Hathaway seemed like a natural choice. As
sure.
You mentioned, she kind of turned into a woo girl that night.
Yeah.
You didn't expect that necessarily from her, but part of that might have been the fact that Franco was just completely dead
useless.
Fish.
Useless.
And, like, that was surprising, too, because a lot of people were like, hey, man, this guy's obviously a very talented young man.
Yeah.
He seems to get it. And, like, you know.
And he's funny.
Right, right. And that was the thing. Like, at that time, it was kind of like, yeah, obviously, with some current things going on, it set him in the light. But up until that, a lot of people were like, he's kind of like the fun wild card, you know? He does all this crazy stuff. He guest stars on soap operas and teaches classes at NYU and makes movies for $4 and shows up and things. And, you know, and so, like, that was what they were trying to capture, and it did not translate.
Didn't work at all. And I happen to be a really big fan of Anne Hathaway. I like her. I like Anne Hathaway a lot. I always have. I don't think she deserved an Oscar for crying while getting a haircut. I really don't. I don't think that's... but, you know, I really like her, and you could tell, like, after the first segment that she was really overworking, like, seriously trying to make up for the fact that she had High Man Johnson up there stoned to the bejesus belt.
See, but, and I see her as a tryhard all the time. She kind of annoys me.
Really? I don't see that. I don't see that all the time. So it was certainly, I'll tell you what, it was certainly on display that night during the Oscars.
Well, yeah, and that night I was like, ugh.
Yeah. But I happen to like her. I think she's charming, and I think she's funny. She's also very good on SNL. When she hosts SNL, she's very funny on the show. So I think she's cool. But she really was. I mean, she got no help from Franco. And by the way, so Franco's like checking his phone. He was like checking his phone. You know, like didn't even want to deliver any of the punchlines. I think he was clearly high. And one of the other reasons why I think it was interesting that they had him host it. He was nominated for Best Actor that night. The same night, he was nominated for 127 hours. So he was nominated for Best Actor. And, you know, when they show the actors, when they announce the actors, he was standing backstage. He looked like he was completely stoned out of his mind. Because he was standing in the wings because he's the host. He's not sitting in the house. So he's standing in the wings. And when they cut to him, James Franco, 127 hours. They cut to him and he's like, hey, yeah, I was in a movie where I cut off my arm, man. It was cool. So, all right, a weird broadcast for sure. All right, we'll take a break. We've got more, some audio here from some of the biggest acceptance speech errors and goofs and blunders in Oscar history. If you want to comment on any of this stuff, Oscar-related, 312-981-7200. Get in here for talk and text, 312-981-7200. We'll take a break. More Oscar talk after this on 720 WGN. Triple Play Thursday, man. Yeah, yeah, Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Ryan Adams from 815 area code. Give me something good. Hey, call us up or text us with your Oscar thoughts and some memories about your favorite parts of the telecast or speeches. We're going to talk about some of the best and worst hosts in Oscar history. We're building up to the Academy Awards, which are Sunday night. We're on ABC, and your host is Jimmy Kimmel, and maybe some weird stuff will happen there, and we're talking about weird stuff and speeches that have happened in the past during the Oscars. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Okay, let's get back to this one. Esmeralda, if I say that Hillary Swank's acceptance speech in 2000 when she won for Boys Don't Cry was a blunder, do you remember why?
Yes.
Okay.
She forgot to mention her husband.
That's exactly
her
right.
Her crying husband.
Her crying husband. Chad Lowe, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are they divorced now?
I want to say they are.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yes.
It's because of that.
Sure it is, not because he's Chad Lowe.
Hey, man, he's related to Rob Lowe, so that means that he's cool just by proxy.
Yeah, but he's not Rob Lowe.
He's not
so.
Rob Lowe. He's literally... literally not Rob Lowe. We're going to hear the speech here that Hillary Swank made for Boys Don't Cry. And in fairness, Swank did make it up to Lowe in 2005 when she won Best Actress for Million Dollar Baby. She said, I'm going to start by thanking my husband because I'd like to think I learned from past mistakes. But again, acceptance speeches never lie. The couple separated in 2006. God, they've been to 2007. They've been apart for 11 years. Jeez. Boy, I've been keeping up with the celebrity couple stuff, haven't I? Let's hear her speech, Hillary Swank from 2000, forgetting to thank Chad Lowe.
On the off chance that I got up here, I brought this piece of paper because I knew I couldn't forget anyone because everyone put their heart and soul into this movie, and God knows no one got paid. So first, Kimberly Pierce for her fierce tenacity and vision. Andy Beanin, our co-writer. killer films. You guys always make important movies, and I thank you for that. John Hart, Jeff Sharp, for being there for me every single minute. Jim Deneau, our cinematographer, who was absolutely brilliant. Carrie Barden, Jennifer McNamara, for fighting for me, the casting directors. Chloe Sevigny, the rest of the cast, who portrayed their characters so honestly and brilliantly. Lee Percy, our editor. I want to thank Michael Stremmel, Lindsay Law, and Bill Mechanic, and everyone at Fox Searchlight for putting their wing around this small little movie and giving us wings. Larry Moss, my acting coach, who without him I could have never given this performance. Thank you, Larry. My mom, who's up there somewhere. It looks like living out of our car was worth it. Holly Hine for keeping my head on straight. My publicist, Troy Nantkin, who is a beautiful, beautiful human being. Cammie Putnam, I have to thank you for fighting for me. I'm almost done, I promise. The Independent Film Channel for helping us finish our movie. Hilda Queeley and David Wirtschafter for their support. And last but certainly not least, I want to thank Brandon Tina for being such an inspiration to us all. His legacy lives on through our movie to remind us to always be ourselves, to follow our hearts, to not conform. I pray for the day when we not only accept our differences, but we actually celebrate our diversity. Thank you very much.
Man. Oh, man. So... What's really brutal, two things that are brutal about that, Esmeralda, if you guys agree with me on this. One, she had a piece of paper in her hand. She had people written down. She had a piece. She said, I've got this piece of paper, because the first thing she says is that she doesn't want to forget anybody. Got a piece of paper in her hand. Okay. Second thing, as you said earlier, every time they cut to Chad Lowe, he's crying. Like, he's crying. So the dude, her husband, who's crying, is not mentioned on this piece of paper that she wrote people's names on. That's brutal, man. That's really brutal.
I guess because you don't think I'm going to forget his name,
right? I guess I'll forget
the publicist or whoever had a hand in the studio, but not my husband.
I will say this. Okay, now I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the air or not. I won an award for best new work for Vinyl Shop. Mike and I won the award. And it was an After Dark Award, and that's the Gay Press. And we won. We were nominated for Jeff's for it as well, tooting my own horn here. But I won, and I was married at the time. And I forgot to thank my wife. So, but I didn't have anything written down. I didn't know, you know.
You pulled a Swank.
I pulled a Swank, but this was pre-Swank. She pulled a DiGilio. But no, I did, and she almost murdered me when I got back to the table. You know, and I was like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. She's like, that's all right. I didn't help you write. She was in it, though. She was in the show. So I guess in the moment, you know, and I wanted to make sure, because we didn't have a lot of time. They wanted to move this thing along, and two of us had to speak. So it wasn't just because Mike and I, you know, co-wrote the thing. And so, but yeah, I didn't thank my wife. So I before Swank, I did it. I'm sure a lot of people have forgotten to thank their spouses, don't you think?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to, the long list of people who you worked with.
Right.
And I'm sure, unless they supported you in a very big way.
Well, you know, we were married. She was in the show. I think I should have thanked her.
Yeah, I mean, she was in the show.
Yeah.
Did you not thank the other actors?
I did thank the actors, yes. In general, I was like, I want to thank. Okay. I just said cast, because it was a big cast. I didn't want to name everybody. There were like 14 people in the show. So I said cast, you know, and the people that I worked with, my stage manager, and I, you know, working with Mike. I had to thank Nick Hornby for writing High Fidelity, you know.
So wait, so what happened afterwards?
She was not happy with me. It did blow over after, well, you know, after a few cocktails, it was fine, because we were at an award show, and our award was pretty early in the evening too, so it was like I apologized, and by the end of the night, it didn't matter. It was fine. I've never told that story on the air. I've never told that story on the air. Wow. All right. I don't know. I'm not sure why I did now. to be quite honest with you. Oh, boy. It happens, though. But I didn't have any, but I will say this, no, I'm not making an excuse, but I didn't have a piece of paper with people's names on it in front of me, like Hillary Swank did.
But you did name the cast.
I did said the cast. I said, yeah, I'd like to thank the cast.
And you would think you'd go, cast.
Including my wife. Oh, yeah, my wife who's in the cast. Yeah.
Could you see her from the stage?
No.
Okay. At least there wasn't like you're staring at her and just like, hey.
No, yeah, I'm looking right. She was standing right in front of me. And I didn't thank her. She was at the edge of the stage looking at me. She wasn't crying, though, like Chad Lowe, so I don't feel as bad. All right. It's time to break. The news is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue, and it's raining. Looking out the window here on Michigan Avenue, and it's raining. yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of pretty when we were up on the seventh floor to look out on the rain. Now it just looks like I'm looking at the street and it's raining. It's not pretty when you're on the street level. That was 815 area code, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. We got some requests open here. One artist, three songs. Pick them out right now and call us up or text us right now. Text your three Triple Play, one artist, three songs requests. Do that right now. 312-981-7200. We'll get them in for you this morning. Ryan Adams with Nuclear, and that's from the 815 area code. Get your Triple Play requests in right now. 312-981-7200. Hey, we've got a celebrity name game coming up. Esmeralda and I will take a crack at giving each other clues and seeing if we can guess which celebrities each other are describing. And we'll be doing that coming up just a little bit later on after the 4:30 news break. That'll be coming up. It's Oscar week leading up to Oscar night, which is Sunday. Always a lot of fun. By the way, if you're around at 6:20 this morning, I will be on with Mr. Steve Cochran, the one and only, and I'll be doing my weekly Thursday morning visit with him. We'll talk about the new movies, and I'll make my Oscar predictions in the major categories as well. So make sure you tune in for that at 6:20 on Cochran's show. All right, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're talking about blunders during Oscar speeches. And how you're a real jerk if you don't thank your spouse when you win an award. There you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. To be fair, that was about 6 months before we got divorced. So maybe that was about 6 months before she caught me watching Waterworld for the third time. So there, so all right, let's go back and see. All right, now, Esmeralda, if I mention the year would be 2000, honoring the movies of 1999, which, by the way, was the same year as the Hillary Swank speech, Angelina Jolie won Best Supporting Actress for Girl Interrupted. What was memorable about that?
She made out with her brother.
Right. Yeah, that's right. She was on the red carpet all over her brother.
Oh, and she looked like, what's her
Morticia.
Face from the Addams Family?
Yeah, exactly. So this is, the thing is, like, if you watched any of the red carpet, her brother was with her, and they were, like, all over each other, and people freaked out, and then they also passionately kissed in the press room after she had won. Now, the thing about the speech is that she kind of really loves her brother. And this is, and by the way, if you watched the pre-show, if you watched the red carpet, then by the time she had won the award, you were already like, man, that's a little too much kissing going on between brother and sister. That's a little weird. So that thought, if you watched the entire broadcast and you watched the red carpet, that thought was already in your head. You were already like, man, that's a little, you know, it's cool. She brought her brother as her date. That's cool. But do they really need to be clinging onto each other and kissing all the time? I don't know. That just seems a little weird to me. Now, I'm an only child, so I don't know if that's weird. Esmeralda, you don't go around kissing your brother, do you?
No.
No, I don't think so. Dan, you just, well, you only have brothers, so.
Correct.
You don't go around kissing him, though.
Nope.
No. If I had a sister, I wouldn't make out with her. So anyway, you watch these. Is that going to end up on Friday?
Actually, I won't allow that one.
You're putting the kibosh on that one.
I'm going to say no thanks, everybody.
Hey, by the way, I didn't do this yet. It's March 1st. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. Rabbit, 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 rabbit. Okay, anyway. So, so you watch this. They're kissing. It's weird. So during the red carpet, you're going, what's this? Is weird. And then she wins, and she says this.
I'm in shock, and I'm so in love with my brother right now. He just held me and said he loved me, and I know he's so happy for me. And, thank you for that.
Yeah. and then that started a whole cycle of Angelina Jolie being weird, right? Then she started dating Billy Bob Thornton. Did they get married? Were they married?
I think they were.
Yeah.
And they're walking around with vials of blood around their neck. And at one red carpet event, they're making out with each other, all over each other. And Billy Bob Thornton is like, yeah, we just had sex in the limo on the way here. Like, what is... That was when Angelina Jolie went through the weirdo phase. You know?
And when Billy Bob Thornton became my hero.
But
overachiever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's one of those things where you go, oh, well, there's hope.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Well, who were we saying that about before? Dan, you remember? Because there was hope. It made everybody feel... the idiot who's married to Christina Hendricks. That guy. That moron in the back seat on Super Troopers. That guy's married to Christina Hendricks. For God's sake. All right, so that was weird. She's really good, though, in Girl Interrupted. Esmeralda, have you seen Girl Interrupted?
I haven't.
It's really good. It's a really good movie. And she's really terrific in it, too. So, yeah. All right. Yeah, man. That was just the whole vial of blood thing. And then she went from weirdo to homewrecker, right? The Angelina Jolie, she went from weirdo. She went from John Voight's model daughter to weirdo to homewrecker. Everybody was on Team Jennifer, right? Team Aniston at that point. So she was a homewrecker. And now she's humanitarian of the year, right? And did Brad Pitt cheat on her too? Brad Pitt, is that the rumor?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know because I know they're not together anymore. Right,
right, right, right. They are separated. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe she's with Chad Lowe now. That and he started crying when she suggested that she take some of his blood to hang around her neck. He went no, no. So. All right. So the next one we don't have audio for, but it involves Anne Hathaway, Esmeralda.
Oh, boy.
Now, I don't remember this at all for some reason. This is when she won Best Supporting Actress for getting her hair cut while crying in Les Miserables, which, by the way, is a horrible movie. It's horrible. Have you seen Les Miserables?
I'm not a big fan of certain musicals, so I wasn't into it.
I actually like the stage version very much. I think Les Mis on stage is pretty great. I thought they just screwed it up horribly in the movie. And Russell Crowe, what the hell's going on there? I have a better voice than Russell Crowe. It was embarrassing. I remember because I got a screener of it, and it took me four separate times to finish it. Like I'd watch like 20 minutes at a time and go, I gotta turn this thing off. So I've never seen the movie from beginning to end in it, back, you know, straight through. I kept turning the screener off and going, good Lord. But I did finally finish it, but it took four viewings for me to finish it. Anyway, I don't remember Anne Hathaway doing anything bad during her speech, but here's what they say. Just to be clear, the backlash Hathaway received for her Oscar speech was completely out of line and takes away from a couple of things. She was legitimately great in Les Mis and had continued to be great. Oh, I like that they include this. Now, this is this guy writing a piece about it, like this guy's opinion. He says, and she has continued to be great. And then parentheses, he writes, everyone, please go see Colossal. I like this guy. This guy's all right in my book. Hathaway is good. Now that that's out of the way, the disingenuousness of Hathaway's It Came True can't be overlooked. It's awkward and clearly rehearsed, which makes everything that follows, remarks that are probably sincere, that read as potentially fake. Nobody should be getting out the pitchforks, but this is not a good acceptance speech. The lesson here, allow yourself to be surprised and feel emotions. Do not try to manufacture those things. Okay. I don't remember that at all. I don't remember her speech being bad. I think I was just, I didn't care. Because I hated the movie so much. I mean, I like Anne Hathaway, and I think she's, you know, she's fantastic. And by the way, if you haven't seen Colossal, really, really, you need to. Have you seen it, Esmeralda?
No.
Okay. You should, because it's amazing. Dan, you haven't seen it. I know you haven't seen it.
Correct. I have not.
She's so good in it. She and Sudeikis are amazing in that movie. Two of my favorite performances of last year, Sudeikis and Anne Hathaway and Colossal. Of course, you know, no way it was ever going to be nominated for Academy Awards or anything. But, okay. All right, let's take a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then more awkward moments in acceptance speeches in Oscar history. And, of course, we will talk about the best and worst and most memorable hosts for the Academy Awards of all time. Any comments you guys have? Also, Triple Play Thursday, get your requests in, one artist, three songs. But let's hear from you guys at 312-981-7200. Man, I love this song. I haven't heard this song in a long time. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. Larry picks the Motels, Only the Lonely. So I actually misheard that lyric when I was younger. It's only the lonely can play. I used to think it was Get Laid. Which is really interesting, which is, you know, an ironic kind of a thing. That only the lonely, you know what I mean? Because that's not usually the case. If you're lonely, you don't get laid. That's usually, you know, not how it works. I just thought maybe the motels were being ironic. I used to get them confused. You remember Quarter Flash? You guys don't remember Quarter Flash, do you?
Mm-mm. No.
Dan, you don't know Quarter Flash? Fine. Here, look them up. Look up Harden My Heart. It's Quarter Flash. That was their big hit, Harden My Heart. And the thing, and I can't remember which, was it? It was either the Motels or Quarter Flash, where the lead singer, she also played the sax. I think that was Quarter Flash. Because I used to get the Motels and Quarter Flash mixed up all the time. Because, you know, as you're wont to do, because, you know, Motels and Quarter Flash are such a big, they're such big, massive acts. Yeah. So do you guys know that song?
I do recognize it now.
You recognize it?
I don't know.
No? Yeah. It was big. Now, granted, Esmeralda, it was released a year before you were born, so that was probably why you haven't. And it was, you know.
There is a sax. I do remember a sax solo at the.
Yeah. So that's her. It plays the sax. But our triple play is from the Motels. All right. Hi. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Oscars are coming up. And we are talking about awkward moments during acceptance speeches. And if you guys want to jump in with your favorite Oscar memories and stuff like that, call or text right now at 312-981-7200. All right, Esmeralda, if I say 1998 Academy Awards, honoring 1997, and James Cameron, would you remember what James Cameron did?
I do not.
Well, he's an idiot. But his speech, everyone remembers at the end of Cameron's speech, he shouted, "I'm the king of the world." It was delivered with enthusiasm of a piece of plywood and literally sounded like the yelp of a child going through puberty. It is as bad as you remember. Let's hear James Cameron's speech here.
I don't know about you, but I'm having a really great time. Every director that ever stood up here had his cast to thank, and I had a killer cast. They really threw down for me. So, Kate, Gloria, Leo, Kathy, Francis and Billy, Bill, Susie, Lewis, and about 80 others. You guys gave me pure gold every day, and I share this gold with you. Everybody else that I was going to thank either got an Oscar or a nomination, so they're covered. Except for my fellow producers, Ray Sankini and John Landau. Josh McLaughlin, Rod Lurie, my brother Mike Cameron, who built the deep diving camera system, my lovely wife Linda, our two beautiful children, Dalton and Josephine, and my original producers, my parents who are here tonight, Philip and Shirley Cameron, Mom, Dad, there's no way that I can express to you what I'm feeling right now. My heart is full to bursting. Except to say, I'm the king of the world!
What an idiot.
You just howl?
Yeah. He's an idiot.
He sounded just so blasé.
Exactly.
In his speech.
I mean, here's what the person who wrote this article, and this is very funny listening to this now, Esmeralda, listen to this. What has been given far less attention and what is far worse, however, is what preceded that stupid shout. I'm referring to the moment in which James Cameron gives thanks to his, quote, original producers, a.k.a. his mom and dad. And then the guy just writes, James Cameron is terrible. So he thanked Linda Hamilton, okay, and their two kids. And it was an interesting thing. A few months later, he left her for Susie Amos, who he thanked as one of the actors in Titanic. And he left Catherine Bigelow, who he is married to, for Linda Hamilton. So he's got an interesting track record, Jim Cameron. First of all, why would you cheat on Catherine Bigelow? What the hell is wrong with you? Yeah.
I would also like to point out he did not thank Celine Dion, which is up there with not thanking Chad Lowe.
But she was nominated.
She won,
too.
Oh,
that is true. That is true.
So he didn't have to.
Oh, that's right, because he said everybody else has won Oscars or been nominated. Bitch. And she
except those producers that he named.
Who, by the way, would go on to win an Oscar because it won Best Picture, and that's where the Oscars go, to producers. And
it seemed kind of weird when he was like, except you guys.
Yeah.
You haven't won. It's like, gee, okay, thanks.
And my original producers, Mom and Dad. What an idiot. I couldn't have been happier when Catherine Bigelow beat his ass the year that Avatar was out. Because they were both, you know that, you remember that, Esmeralda? Because Avatar and Hurt Locker were up the same year. They were both up for Best Director. And Catherine Bigelow it's like, forget it, man. Avatar is a piece of crap. So, Catherine Bigelow, man, she's the best. I should bring in that picture of me, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Catherine Bigelow, because I don't even remember taking it. It's me between Catherine Bigelow and Jamie Lee Curtis. Ridiculous. After Jamie Lee Curtis, that picture was taken after Jamie Lee Curtis was like flirting with me and kissing me. I almost passed out. They were in town to promote Blue Steel. Catherine Bigelow directed Jamie Lee Curtis in a really terrific cop thriller called Blue Steel. And so they came into town they came on Roy's show and I sit down in the interview. And of course, Roy goes, hey, Jamie Lee, I got to tell you, this guy loves you. You were his childhood crush. He loves you. And I thank you, Roy. I appreciate that. And then she just proceeded to play that, like big time, to the hilt. I was losing my mind. And I don't know if you've ever seen, Esmeralda, you know what Catherine Bigelow looks like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. And she's like 6'1". It's ridiculous. She's insanely gorgeous and like ridiculously talented. So, anyway.
I think that's interesting because that's happened. That happened twice when Bill was doing the one time at a different radio station and one time here at WGN.
Yeah.
One night on the overnights when Bill was hosting, we had Julie Newmar on.
Oh man!
And she purred at him.
Oh.
It was early in the show, and he might as well have just left because he wasn't the same man after that. And then he had told me a story. I forget which one of the Brady girls. I think the oldest one.
Marsha?
Yeah. She, you know, he had a big thing for her growing up.
Sure.
And she was on one of the shows he was on at a previous radio station. And she gave him a little bit of a flirt and, like, same type of thing. Like, he talked about it.
Oh, man.
Quite frequently. Anytime the Brady Bunch brought up.
Yeah.
He mentioned it.
This was 1990 when this happened, Dan, and I'm still clinging to it. It happened in February of 1990. That's when it happened.
I think the secret here is Esmeralda, Vic, and I have to get our childhood crushes on the air so they can flirt with us. By the pattern we're having here, you know?
No, it's ridiculous. Well, that for you would be
probably Sarah Michelle Gellar, yeah.
Right? What about you, Esmeralda?
Oh, there's so many.
Yeah? I mean, childhood. Wasn't Edward Norton.
There's so many.
Just too many?
There was Edward. Edward Norton was.
Because that came out in like 96. Okay. Let's get Edward Norton on. All right, we'll work on that. We'll get Buffy and Edward Norton on. Yeah, let me tell you something. It's pretty special. Like Jamie Lee Curtis, and she did it. She knew what she was doing. You know what I mean? Like she was all over me, and I was just like, hi. Molly Shannon did that with me too, but it wasn't on the air. That was a taped interview. And she was real touchy and flirty, and I was just going, Heibel, Heigel, Heibel. I turned into Jerry Lewis. So, all right, we got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up the bad acceptance speeches or weird moments in acceptance speeches, and we'll talk about hosts, and we'll play a little celebrity name game. That's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. News is next. More of the motels right here. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200. Larry chose the motels that suddenly last summer. It's Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio right here. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio right here looking at Michigan Avenue, a wet Michigan Avenue. And we're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. And at 6, it's the great Steve Cochran with your morning drive. And I'll be joining Steve and the gang at 6:20 for my weekly Thursday visit. Talk a little bit about the new movies coming out this weekend, and I'll give you my Oscar predictions as well. So that's all coming up. Speaking of Oscars and Academy Awards and all that fun stuff, that's what we've been talking about, building up to the Oscar night, which is Sunday. We're playing back some weird or awkward moments from the Academy Awards with acceptance speeches and things like that. And we're also going to talk about hosts from the past. Good and bad, who were your favorites, and who did you think was not very good at hosting the Academy Awards? Plus, a celebrity name game edition will be coming up as well. Phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. So, let's get back to it. We were talking about weird moments or awkward or blunders in acceptance speeches. And so, next up would be 1992's broadcast for, you know, talking about the 1991 winners. For Best Supporting Actor, Jack Palance won from City Slickers. And does anybody remember what was memorable? Esmeralda, do you remember what was memorable about Jack Palance's speech?
I do not.
Jack Palance won his Academy Award for playing Curly, the cowboy, in City Slickers, the Billy Crystal comedy. And, halfway through his speech, he started doing one-armed push-ups. At the time, he was 73 years old. So he decided to walk away from the podium, and he did some one-armed push-ups just to prove that he was still virile and still a man. And he started his speech by talking about his man-sized bowel movements. But what they're not mentioning is that's actually a line from the movie, he says. In City Slickers, he says he craps bigger than him, meaning Billy Crystal. He's a little man, and his bowel movements, Curly's bowel movements, are bigger than Billy Crystal. So, in all fairness, it's a line from the movie that he says at the beginning. It didn't just come out of nowhere where he's just talking. It is a reference to City Slickers. But, yeah, so halfway through, Esmeralda, he's 73-year-old dude, started doing one-armed push-ups. So, do we have this one, Dan?
Billy Crystal. God, I crap bigger than him. Yeah. You know, there are times when you reach a certain age plateau where the producers say, they talk about you and they say, well, what do you think? Can we risk it? Can we do it? Can we use him? And the other guy says, I don't know. Let's look at some younger ones. We can make them look older. But this one, you know, it's kind of difficult. They forget to ask that you go out there and you do all these things. Like, for instance, you know, you go out there and you do these...
He's doing one-arm push-ups right now.
Well, that's nothing really. As far as the two-handed push-ups are concerned, you can do that all night. And it doesn't make any difference whether she's there or not. Because. And besides, it's a hell of a lot less expensive. Wow. You know, a long time ago, 1949, first picture. 1949, first film. I've been shooting about 2 weeks, and the producer came to me and he said, Jack... My name at that time was Vladimir, but he called me Jack. He says, Jack, you're going to win the Academy Award. Can you believe it? 42 years later, he was right. Now this son of a knew. Thank you.
There you go. Jack Palance doing one-arm push-ups, Esmeralda, and then referring to prostitutes, which is, he starts out talking about big bowel movements. He ends... Does a little one-arm push-ups, then talks about prostitutes and how cheap it is to do two-arm push-ups without them. That's old-school Hollywood right there, man. Okay, we can't not talk about what happened last year. Seriously, one of the biggest blunders in the history of the Academy Awards. Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway were out there, and I don't blame Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty does not deserve any blame for this. Faye Dunaway is the one who blurted it out anyway. Warren Beatty opened up the envelope, and as we all know, it was the envelope for Emma Stone winning for La La Land. And needless to say, when Warren Beatty looked at the envelope or looked at the results in the envelope, he was very confused by it. And then he didn't say anything, and then Faye Dunaway saw La La Land was written on the thing, and she just blurted out La La Land. But the actual winner was Moonlight, and this is what happened after that was discovered.
It's my family, maman, papa, Jeff, hommage vous adore, Matt Pluff, you kicked this off, and Damien Chazelle, we're standing on your shoulders. We lost, by the way, but, you know.
Guys, I'm sorry. No, there's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
Oh my God. It's still really uncomfortable to even hear that. I remember sitting on my couch last year going, What? What the hell just happened? You know what's the best? If you look online, Dan, have you looked online and seen what the crowd looks like when that happened?
Yes.
It is so spectacular. You know who looks the most shocked? Like, everybody in the audience is like, huh? And they're all big-time Hollywood hotshots sitting in the first, like, 20 rows of the auditorium. You know the most shocked look? The Rock.
He did look stunned.
The Rock was like, huh? Oh, man. All right. Let's see. Here's Francis on WGN. Hi, Francis. Francis?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi.
I'm so busy listening to you on. Yes, I had called because I wanted to remind everybody that the best blunder to me was when Sir Charles Olivier and Betty Davis, who were both, you know, they were up there in age, and they had them to announce the best It was either the best picture or the best actor. Well, they gave out the name of the picture and didn't read off all the other candidates.
Oh, so they didn't even do the nominees. They just went right to the award.
And the winner is, boom.
Yeah.
And they made a big deal out of it. But I was like, well, dang, you know, they're almost 90-something years old.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Laurence Olivier and... I do remember that, Francis. They just went right to it. They were like, yeah, screw the nominees. The winner is. <It's> like, that was the Golden Globes. Was it the Golden Globes? Gladiator! I think that
was Golden Globes.
That was Golden Globes, right? When Elizabeth Taylor was out there. And she almost read the winner immediately. And then Dick Clark. Remember Dick Clark had to come out and go, Elizabeth, just hold on. Look at the, please, look at the teleprompter.
Gladiator.
All right. Hey, Francis, thanks for the call. We had a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we got one more clip to play from a sort of an awkward acceptance speech. Then we'll talk about the best and worst hosts in Oscars, and then we'll have a celebrity name game coming up after the 4:30 news. Let's take a break here. See, now here's a sex. Think I'm getting confused again by which female lead singer plays the sax.
I am watching the actual video on this one. It is a band member.
Oh, okay.
The lead singer.
Then it's Quarterflash. Why do they make it so confusing to like the motels in Quarterflash? Why is it difficult?
The question is old as time.
Yes. How many times has that question been asked, Dan? Come on, seriously, daily.
I mean, if I had a quarter.
Triple Play Thursday. Yeah. 312-981-7200. Larry chose the motels. That's Remember the Nights. Okay. We are going through some, it's Oscar, it's leading up to Oscar day and Oscar night, which is Sunday. And we're going back in time and looking at and listening to some of the awkward and weird moments that happened during acceptance speeches of Oscars past. We've been playing back some of them, Ben Affleck calling his marriage work, Melissa Leo dropping F-bombs, Hilary Swank gives a big speech and forgets to thank her husband. James Cameron is an idiot, king of the world. Angelina Jolie professing her love to her brother. Jack Palance talking about bowel movements and doing one-armed push-ups. The fact that La La Land was announced as the Best Picture winner last year, when in fact that was a mistake, and it was Moonlight. But this one that we're about to play, although the category is Best Documentary Short Subject, which is a category that a lot of people at Oscar parties probably don't even pay attention to, unless you're in the Oscar pool. But all you care about is who the winner is. If you're in the Oscar pool, you really don't know. You don't know any of these people and their acceptance speeches. When a documentary short subject person winner gets up there and does an acceptance speech, you don't necessarily pay close attention to it. Here's the backstory on this one, and this is pretty unbelievable. This was in 2010, honoring the movies of 2009. And it was Best Documentary Short Subject. Roger Ross Williams and Eleanor Burkett, and the movie was Music by Prudence. Here's the thing. At first, what you think is happening, and they call this, by the way, the Citizen Kane of Oscar acceptance speech blunders. So we got to set the scene here. What is happening? At first, you think that the real recipient of the Oscar is rudely and confusingly interrupted by some random person mid-speech. So what happens is a guy gets up on stage, he starts the acceptance speech, and then a woman comes up on stage and interrupts him. And people, you know, if you don't know the backstory, you think, okay, well, this poor guy just won an Oscar, and this idiot, this woman, comes up on stage and interrupts him very rudely. But the backstory is this. The person interrupting the man who's up there is Roger Ross Williams. Eleanor Burkett is a producer on the short film, which won. And it's about a Zimbabwean woman fronting a band with other musicians who have disabilities in her native Zimbabwe. And she was in the audience, Prudence. The director of the movie, the guy who goes up first to the Oscar stage, is Roger Ross Williams. Williams and Burkett had a big falling out during production. Since both were eligible for the Oscar, Williams sprinted to the stage in order to beat Burkett, the woman there. And reportedly, this is the best part of the story, the guy's mother, Williams' mother, blocked the woman, Burkett, from getting out of her seat. So that's why she's so late to get there. He booked, they had a huge falling out. The director and the producer had a huge falling out since the movie. So the guy booked up there as quickly as he could to get the award, and the guy's mom stopped the woman, the producer, from trying to get on stage. And when she finally did, it looked as though she was interrupting the proper winner, when in fact that's not the case at all. And that it's such an incredible story, and here's what played out.
Oh my God, this is amazing. 2 years ago when I got on an airplane and went to Zimbabwe, I never imagined my wildest dreams that I'd end up here. This is so exciting. This is so exciting.
Isn't that just
so exciting.
The classic thing? You know, in a world in which most of us are told and tell ourselves that we can't, Liana, the band behind this film, teaches us that we're wrong. Against all odds, they did, so we can. So the bottom line is, to me, my role models and my heroes, Marvelous and Energy, Tapiwa, Goodwell, the whole rest of the band, and especially Prudence.
And Prudence, who is here? Who is back there tonight? Prudence is here tonight.
So,
this is for Prudence.
Now, knowing the background story on that, Dan, isn't that insane?
And it is online, and it the awkward is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, going from the, you know, you don't see his mom blocking her, but you definitely see her struggling to get out of the row. So there's that. Like you said, he sprints.
Yeah.
He like fist bumps a guy in one of the other rows as he's making his way up. And then so he gets up there, and you can see Carey Mulligan, who was one of the presenters. She's got another Oscar, and she's just like, where's the other person?
Oh man.
So she kind of looks like, what's going on? She steps away. They focus on the dude, and then the woman comes up, and like again, you know, you don't know who was at fault,
right.
And obviously,
right.
But like you can tell he's like that fake smile, like I don't know how to react
to this.
That's
funny, man. Does Carey Mulligan give the Oscar to the woman when she gets up?
No, she had stepped away, and I think looking at the screenshot I'm looking at now, it looks like she just kind of moved to
right.
the other
and
side
and
gives stage.
It to her after the
probably,
awkward.
Yeah.
Okay. God, the backstory on that is fantastic, because you know you watch it, you think, well, who is this woman who ran up on stage and interrupted this guy? That's hysterical. But the best detail of this is the guy's mom trying to stop the woman from getting up on stage. I mean, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. All right, well, there you go. Those are some pretty terrific. Maybe we'll see something like that on Sunday. Maybe somebody will block another person from trying to get up on stage to accept their award. So, all right, let me talk about some of my favorite hosts of the past and some of the worst. I think Chris Rock was always a great host for the Academy Awards, did a great job, always does a great job. Ellen DeGeneres did a really, really nice job. Here's one of the weirdest. Bob Hope, Jack Lemmon, Rosalind Russell, and James Stewart all co-hosted with Daffy Duck. Donald Duck, with Donald Duck. So they had an animated character co-host. Paul Hogan was one of the co-hosts back when Crocodile Dundee meant something, back in the late 80s. Not good. Hugh Jackman, fantastic as the host. Neil Patrick Harris, who can host anything. The perennial Billy Crystal, many consider to be maybe the best host in the history of the Oscars. I always think he did a great job. Not the biggest Billy Crystal fan, but he had that great balance between being really funny and inviting and also being inside and making fun of Hollywood. Johnny Carson, who hosted, he probably hosted like six times in the 70s and into the early 80s, was always great because he's Johnny Carson. He was the king. Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin co-hosted 1 year. It was great. Bob Hope hosted like 14 times, was one of the best hosts of all time. Jon Stewart hosted twice. Great job both times, I think. One of the most controversial ones, everybody hates it. He only hosted one time, David Letterman. I thought David Letterman did a great job. Everybody talks about Uma Oprah. Uma Oprah. When he brought Tom Hanks on stage and did a stupid pet trick with him. Tom Hanks, who was the favorite to win Best Actor that night, brings him on stage to do a stupid pet trick. He completely it completely deflated the evening, meaning like all the pomp and circumstance and all the rich people patting each other on the back. He got out there. He did stupid pet tricks. He was in the movie Cabin Boy, which, of course, I am quoted on the box of Cabin Boy, the fantastic Chris Elliott movie. He's in the movie and he's got one line. Would you like to buy a monkey? And there was a montage bit that they did where he had major, major Hollywood actors say, do the line, would you like to buy a monkey, including people like Paul Newman. So I thought he was great. I thought he did a great, great job, and people always hate him. Chevy Chase hosted one year, Nightmare. Jerry Lewis hosted a bunch of times. One time, though, I'll close on this. Jerry Lewis hosted in the 50s, and the show ran short. It ran short, so he had to improvise for 20 minutes. And he brought people out on stage, actors, and made them dance and stuff. So Jerry Lewis, I would kill to see that footage. And first of all, how does a show run short? How does the Academy Awards ever run short? They ran short, had 20 minutes to fill, and Lewis had to do it by the seat of his pants, and I'm sure it was genius. So, all right, let's take a break for the news. When we come back, it'll be a little celebrity name game coming up right here on 720 WGN. News is next.